Will you pray with me? God of peace and inspiration, may we hear your words this morning, your inspiration, because of what we say or in spite of it. Amen. We live between memory and hope. We carry with us not just our own memories, but memories of the past handed on to us in story and poem and ritual, like the one we observe today. And from these memories, we can build either a foundation for a hopeful future, or we can nurse old angers and recreate the terrors of the past. It is an essential part of the Christian story that we are called to live into hope, of captives freed in the end of war and greed, as the hymn says. Our first scripture today was a lament, a poem David wrote in grief at the death of King Saul and David's best friend Jonathan in war against the Philistines. And he weeps that the enemy may joy in the death of the beauty that they brought to the world. This week we will hear the laments of people who lost their friends in wars across the world 3,000 years later, and we ask ourselves, so what have we learned? This past week I shared with the small groups a poem from one of Canada's great young poets, Shane Coison, and you'll forgive me, I don't perform it as he did. The poem starts like this. Remember how we forgot? Remember how no one ever really died in the wars that we fought because each gunshot came from our fingertips and we never really kept them loaded just in case? Because each enemy was a friend, and none of it was really about oil, religion, or land. It was all just pretend. Remember how we used to bend reality, like we were circus strongmen, like our imaginations were in shape then, like we were all ninjas training in the deadly art of did not. Like, I totally got you, did not. Remember how we forgot. As we go on today, remember that line. Each enemy was a friend, and none of it was really about oil, religion, or land. It was all just pretend. As Canada observes Remembrance Day, we see pictures of the crosses row on row, pictures of our youngest and best being sent to war, and pictures of death and destruction and concentration camps in one more, and of schools bombed in a more recent one. And we observe a series of rituals that pass by almost unchanged from one year to the next to remind us of heroism and sacrifice, but also of stupidity and evil. And on this weekend of remembrance, the Parti Québécois chose to release the proposed Quebec law called the Secular Charter. And it is even worse than we have been led to believe. We knew it would propose to restrict officials from wearing a cross, a Star of David, or a headscarf. We knew about that. Public officials. But instead, it also restricts the right of anyone to wear anything that might be construed as religious if they work in any capacity that might be considered public. It would even restrict the kind of food that could be served in daycares and schools, any food that might be considered Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or Sikh. And it makes me wonder if they'll ban pancakes because we sometimes serve them at Lent or Christmas pudding. And it's so absurd that we forget how terrifying it is. And since the secular charter has been proposed, there has been an increase in violence against women and attacks on religious institutions and on children and on girls considered vulnerable because of their religious affiliation. And in Quebec, bullying in schools based on perceptions of religion has increased, and teachers and nurses and others fear they may lose their jobs on this Remembrance weekend. And on Friday night, I met a good friend, a lawyer who has worked for years with different city governments to improve access to services for everyone, and she said to me, haven't we learned anything? And as we remember wars fought over religion and race and listen to the truth and reconciliation testimony, haven't we learned anything? Now, a cynical, but perhaps realistic viewpoint might be that, yes, we have. What some people have learned is that they can make a lot of political hay out of hatred. They can advance their own careers by being champions of sameness. And they can talk people into the strangest and most horrible things if you encourage people to distrust one another based on nonsensical details or how much fabric you wear on your head. By encouraging racism and fostering a culture of bullying, they can build a power base no one dares to challenge. Admitting to being different becomes a crime. Wearing a scarf or the wrong kind of hat or singing the wrong songs or eating the wrong foods can cost you your job, your profession, your career, your ability to get health care or education. And in some places, even though the charter is not yet law and likely will not be, this is already happening because people have an excuse. And yes, I admit I've opened my sermon with a profoundly political statement. Every year at this time, we put up signs that say, "Lest we forget," or "We will remember them." And every year I am reminded of how important it is to remember, not because of a morbid sentimentality about what happened long ago, but because of what is happening right in front of us now. I grew up in an era when rituals were considered unimportant. But I've come to believe in the vital importance of rituals that have us actually embody the story we need to tell. So each year when we stand for the last post and spend minutes in silence, we remember the past. And we pray, and we announce the reveille, and we embody in that moment more than ourselves. We embody those who have seen the most terrible acts of hatred, and those who still live in the midst of them. And every year we may teach our children to stand and embody that, so that they may know what happens when hatred is a tool of power, and when religious observance is made illegal, and when difference isn't just an excuse for oppression, that oppression becomes mandated by law. When people of goodwill and conscience are commanded to do hateful things. Shane Coyson remembers playing at war, where they kept their fingers unloaded just in case, because every enemy was a friend. But we have seen what happens when every difference is called a threat and every neighbor becomes an enemy. As Christians, we have a ritual we call communion. It calls us not just to remember, but to embody a memory of a meal shared in a particular way. And by participating in that ritual, we become something more than just ourselves. At our best, we come to embody the ideals Christ brought to us of Christian communion, meaning literally a joining together of all people, a communion that is a light to the nations. Remembrance Day is a profoundly political and sometimes patriotic ritual. It can be also a profoundly religious act in that we ask God to stand with us and guide us so that we might learn from it. We cannot stand in the face of death in this way together without acknowledging that there is something greater than ourselves. As a religious act in temples and synagogues and churches, many will pray that the spirit of those who died for peace and communion will inspire us, that the God of peace would fill us with the courage to act in peace and for peace. And every time we see the pictures of crosses row on row on row, we are reminded that as Christians, we have a responsibility to act for peace, to refuse hatred, and to stand against it. The act of remembrance is not about the past only. If that were so, there wouldn't be any need for it. The act of remembrance is about a future, Who is it that we aspire to be as Canadians? Who is it that we aspire to be as people of faith? Who is it that we aspire to be as neighbors? Will we live in communion with our neighbors, creating communities of support and wonder? Or will we be collections of houses joined together only by suspicion? I choose the first. And I will pray for it every day. And I will pray when the language of suspicion and anxiety rises up in me, which it does, that I will pray when I hear the words of fear and anxiety in my neighborhood, and I will ask my God to inspire this community of the saints to be a light in this, our community, remembering the past so that we can create together a better future, reminding our children and the children of the world that we remember the past not to be trapped by its divisions, but to be aware of the traps of division. Philosopher George Santayana wrote, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And so we pray that we will remember. Amen.